Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
That's it, we quit.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Hello, goodbye, folks. Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Still not old yet. Yeah, still not old.
No, it'll never get old.
It'll never get old. I am the aforementioned Mr. Housechild. To my left is the not mentioned Mr. Lee Peterson.
Hello.
Mystery. It's a mystery why you're here. I like the little porn stash you're growing, by the way.
Well, our audience really can't see. That's a little
too much. That's great. And on the board, yeah, it's a little bit too much. A little bit too much insider information. And on the boards, Todd Sheets. Yes, Todd Sheets of Zombie Rampage and Goblin fame.
Yeah.
Hey, why are you... I mean, there are like so many filmmakers that would kill for your reputation.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, seriously, man.
I almost got killed because of my reputation. What are you talking
speaking
about?
Speaking to the mic, man. I don't know where you're doing. You're walking away from the mic when you're talking, but get in here. Yeah, exactly. Get in here.
Pretend I almost got killed by my reputation, let's not go there.
Let's pretend we're not in the shadow of New York City and you're in Kansas City. Let's pretend we're all in the same room. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, Movies Hate You, episode blah, blah, blah.
Something. Insert your
number here. Right, exactly. And if you missed last week's show where we interviewed Zach Galligan of Gremlins fame.
Too bad.
Too bad because it's not in the archives yet. No, well, listen, you know, I mean, it's not that we went out and got a good guest or anything and that we want to help the Jackalope family of shows grow and get better, you know, by bringing in Hollywood actors to talk to. But, you know, if that doesn't mean anything to you, dude. You know, that's cool. We're gonna start archiving our shows. I'm recording the shows, by the way, through my Skype now every week, and we're gonna start archiving them on the Wild Eye Releasing website, so you can listen to them anytime. You have them right there.
Hmm.
What do you think of that, Todd?
That's no good.
Why is that no good?
Because we gotta have the traffic going through Jackalope, so I can try.
Yeah,
to
but I gotta give the people. But there's no traffic, man. My last archive's from April. So I've got 2 months of shows that I've put in this work, and nobody can hear it.
Everyone can hear it. I promise you.
No, they can't. They can't because it's not there. You can't just say it, and it's true.
It is true because
Of course they can hear it. But I go to a guest today. Today I talked to, you know, Mel Gibson on the phone, and I said, "Yeah, dude, we want to have you on the show. Come check out the archives." He goes, "Yeah, you guys don't have a show since April. What are you taking a 2 month vacation? I don't want anything to do with you guys. You're losers. Bye. You do it whenever you feel like it." He doesn't know we're dedicated to it every week.
I see.
So we lost Gibson.
He gets really angry too.
Oh, he called me a couple names. You know, I'm not Jewish, but he said a couple things as if I was. It's weird.
Jeez. You're in show business, so you're Jewish.
Show business, right. Yeah, I'm in show business the same way that, the same way he's in show business at this point.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Todd, you're in show business having 15 films to your credit. The ones you'll take credit for. You have about 35.
It's a big business. There's room for all of us.
There's plenty of room. So anyway, is that it for our rant on the archives?
I think so.
I like to call him out live on the air because then he can't edit it out. Hmm. Like the old days when we would record the show, we'd say, "Where are the archives? What are you doing?" And then all of a sudden it wouldn't show up in the archives.
That's
for some reason. He'd say, "Oh, the server company lost it. The guy in, you know, the server company in Nigeria that I use, you know, the guy edits out what he doesn't like.
I never said that.
Even though he doesn't speak English. Well, I'm giving you an out. I'm giving you the excuse. Isn't that nice? I'm three steps ahead of you.
That was good. Thanks.
Forget you.
I thought this rant was just to give me a chance to finish eating my bagel.
It was. And I appreciate actually. It. It was. It was me just. That. So yeah. Now I'm going to take a little break because I'm out of breath. Mm-hmm. You're going to take over. I'm
digesting now.
You're going to take over. You're our resident movie critic, sometimes movie critic, and interviewer. So you're going to interview our guests tonight.
We have a new movie critic on our staff, don't we?
We do.
Fred the Elephant Boy.
Fred Schreiber.
Fred will not be with us tonight.
He won't be with us tonight, but he will be back next week.
That's right.
He will be back next week.
So mark your calendars. Fred the Elephant Boy's triumphant return.
That's right. He's got about 10 movies to review for us, too.
He's a ton of them, yeah.
I want to hear what he thinks about Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we've all seen it at this point. I want to hear his take on it.
I haven't. I didn't get a chance to see it. I was going to go see it this weekend. Didn't get a chance.
There's a couple good boots floating out there. Check it out. Yeah. 3D boots.
Yeah, 3D boots. Cool.
3D boots. Like Superman's boots.
Hmm. Does he have the boots in the movie? He doesn't have
I didn't the really shorts, see it. Right? I don't think they show him from the waist down. I don't think they do. It's, you know, he's going by so fast. He's Superman. He's just phew.
So maybe he's a puppet.
I think it might be CGI. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Remember the George Reeves? He'd just kind of jump out the window and you'd hear the swoosh.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of like
dun,
that.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Hmm. I like that. Did I mention this is the Movies Hate You show?
You did.
Sponsored by Wild Eye Releasing. Mm-hmm. WildEyeReleasing.com.
Your one-stop
gotta get
shop
that plug in.
For all DVD needs.
All your DVD needs. If you need, like, an empty DVD case, you can go to Wild Eye Releasing. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's the kind of traffic we need at the Wild Eye website. People who are looking for shrink wrap.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. If you can't get them to buy the movie, get them to buy the packaging.
The peripherals.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, we don't make money on the movies. We make money on the T-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a band.
You have to evolve, right?
We make money on the keychains. Yeah. The free stickers. We make more money on the free stickers that
right.
we give out.
Well, you don't make so much because they're free, but volume.
It's volume.
It's volume.
Yeah, sure. it's all volume. Well, we have a special mystery guest coming on later in the show.
Oh,
I'm
going to
tell you. Yes, Jackalope. Fans will want to stick around if you are hardcore Jackalope fans, especially if Saturday nights, or should I say Saturday nights in the past, hint, hint, you should stick around to about 25 minutes.
Wow.
You know, special mystery guest joining us.
I don't even know. It's such a mystery that Mr. Reed doesn't even
Mr. Reed doesn't even know that it's a mystery.
Double mystery.
I can't look at you with that porn stash. I can't. I just
Sorry.
Waiting for you.
You
like,
want me to do this?
Like the hotter it gets, the more stash comes out. It's like a Burt Reynolds thing.
Well, I had a callback for a porno, so...
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What, yeah. We'll see. Was it, what, like, how many guys were in the porn?
I think just me.
Just you?
I think just me.
Oh, so it was a solo. You know, it was one of the solo ones that the guys buy.
No. I don't think... I think this was more for the... straight audience. More for the...
Yeah?
I think so. I don't know. I'm a little fuzzy.
But I wasn't implying that it wasn't.
Hmm.
I mean,
was that defensive?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I just said how many guys are in the movie, meaning, you know, there could be 10 guys and 10 girls, and I didn't mean...
Oh, right.
Yeah, you
right.
immediately went
it's not
there.
A, not a sword fight movie.
I didn't... I don't know. Yeah,
I don't
apparently
so.
It might be. That mustache is
size,
kind of
know.
Giving it away.
It is. Well,
yeah.
You know.
And, you know, it's the carpet's not matching the...
The carpet does not match the drapes.
Matching the drapes here, man. You need a little just for men, you know?
I guess so,
no
yeah.
play for Mr. Gray, as they say, you know?
I have a lot of gray in my beard. In fact, I would have grown a...
Nobody wants to hear about your beard.
It's so exciting. So
we have guests who are waiting. We have guests before the mystery guest. We have super special guests. Mm. We have very special guests, and we have super special guests. So I want to bring on semi-movies hate you takeover.
Wow.
How about that?
It's like the old NWO.
We're going to have two hosts from another show come on and be our guests. So that's sort of a takeover.
Crazy.
We're not going to walk away. We're going to stay. So it's not a full takeover, but it's a sort of takeover.
And it's not going to be like a death match. Like a
no, a death match. No, we're all friends.
Okay.
We're all friends.
Oh, good.
We're it's not like even like wrestling friends where we fight, but then we go have a drink afterwards. It's not even that. We're not even frenemies. Hmm. We're just friends.
Just friends.
I've been on their great show called Exercast.
Great name.
It's like, yeah, it's an awesome name. Isn't it? Surprised somebody else hasn't taken it. In fact, let's ask him. Let's bring him on. Chris and Vincent V.
Hello.
Sorry, I owe you money now. I said your full name. Damn it. V and Chris, ExtraCast, come on.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
What's up, man? Thanks for listening to our opening there. That went on
no problem. Too long. We had a big show planned for this week, and we normally record tonight. But we decided, since Mel Gibson was going to be on the show also, that we would just go ahead and say, forget our show. I mean, that's a chance of a lifetime. So we appreciate it, guys.
We really appreciate it, and I'm really sorry to tell you that Mel backed out, which you heard earlier, because of Todd Sheets. As usual, Todd blew it.
Thanks. Can always call.
Way to go, Todd.
What the
hell? Way to be a Todd.
Now, do you guys have Trump? First of all, let me stop talking. Tell us a little bit, the Movies Hate You audience, about ExtraCast. Obviously, we've got a horror thing going, so it's like Exorcist, but it's ExtraCast. I just want people to be able to spell it to go visit you and listen to your archives, which I'm sure are updated all the time.
Oh yeah, every week they're updated.
Yeah, without fail.
Todd Sheets doesn't do that for you, does he?
What the hell?
No. We've got a guy. We've got a guy. It's not Todd Sheets.
You've got a guy that's not Todd Sheets. That's the guy I need. I need a guy who's not Todd Sheets.
Was
whoever
it what
that is.
My dad said.
Yeah. Right. That was the ad in the paper. I am not Todd Sheets. I will help you. I will not hurt
it's
you.
It's gonna be terrible when suddenly we start playing Little Miss Muffet over you.
I believe anything's possible. I've tuned in to this show. And I've heard all kinds of stuff. I don't even know where it was. I heard like a Chinese broadcast one night. I just don't
That's
know what's
awesome.
Going on. What's really awesome is ExtraCast, and I want to talk about it. So one of you take the plunge and try to give me like the what they call the elevator movie pitch on ExtraCast.
Well, it's very simple. Where most of your average podcasts are just, you know, friends getting together or maybe some movie professionals getting together to talk about films, we were actually charged by God and the Pope to exorcise the demons of cinema and give them either absolution or send them straight to hell. And it's not really even something we're fond of. It's just something we have to do. And amongst that, we get a chance to talk about movies that we collect. And for some reason, now we review a lot of porno, don't we, Beard?
Yeah, we've reviewed a lot of porn, actually.
Yeah,
smut, sleaze, porn. It's all fun. Yeah,
that's the stuff. I mean, listen, you know, that's the stuff. You know, as you're basically priests, and priests always gravitate toward that because it's the most sinful stuff, and you have to purge that stuff out.
Exactly. You got it.
You got to look the devil right in the eyes.
You got to look the devil right in the eye, and you got to get it out. You got to get it
Sometimes you have to grab the devil's tail. Sometimes it gets that close. And let me tell you, it's hot.
Do you have to reach around to grab the devil's tail? I'm trying to picture the scenario here. Is this,
right.
It depends on which angle you come at the devil from, really.
Uh-huh.
The Beard and I like to. And also my co-host name. His name is Chris, but his official Vatican name is the Beard. But the Beard and I like to do kind of an anti-satanic devil rotisserie move whenever we come at evil. So you know, he usually comes from behind, and I'll get in the front. We'll just exercise that demon right out.
So Beard lost the coin toss on that one, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
And seriously, when you listen to their podcast, this is what it is. And total transparency here, they've sent some of my Wild Eye movies into hell and purgatory.
Hmm.
You know, they've done it.
We had,
and God bless them for doing it, because they might have deserved it. But I won't say.
And you agreed with a few of them.
I agree. I totally agree. But I will defend every film we've ever released. But you are right. You are right. There were some purgatories there that deserved it.
Well, see, the system that we use is there's no, like, thumbs up, thumbs down. We have to come to a consensus. Even if we disagree, it's really the will of heaven that, you know, maybe Beard really loves the movie, maybe I don't like it, so there it finds its home in purgatory.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I won't even like a film, but I'll give it absolution just to bring it out of hell. So we do what we must.
It's a tough job. Someone has to do it.
It makes perfect sense, and I have no problem sacrificing my own films to you guys. I think you need to get a Todd Sheets episode going. I'll get you some Todd Sheets movies.
I do have Zombie Bloodbath 3. That is a Todd Sheets film that I just realized that I have.
Yeah. Where's that going? Like, you just had to do, you know, without, you know, the whole process, let's just say ballpark it. Where's that movie going?
You know, I've never seen it. It's been on my shelf for many years, but I've never gotten to it. So now there's a reason.
Well, maybe you should keep it there. You know what I mean? It's
more valuable if it's mint in
keep
box.
It. Yeah, is it a VHS?
No. Unfortunately, it's not.
Some of his VHS go for a lot. So if you come across a Todd Sheets VHS, hold on to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, where are people going? When are they going to hear the new shows to get involved in everything?
They can go to exorcast.com. That's EXORCAST. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can get the latest episodes and stream them off of Stitcher for the smartphones as well.
Love it.
Nice.
We don't do a live show like you guys do. You've got one up on us. We record every Friday night, and it's posted normally on the website to download and stream around the midnight or so Friday night.
But we don't edit anything, so you get the feel of a really unprofessional live show. But it's because, number one, we don't know how to live stream, and we're lazy. So you still get the live feel and the unprofessionalism that hopefully people are looking for.
I like that rawness. I like when it's not edited.
Mm-hmm. That's why I enjoy what we do.
Well, we're doing it, and we can't go back. I can't. Todd, cut that out. Mm-hmm. You say it; it's out there. You get to play off of it, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then so what? You sound like an idiot for 3 seconds.
Yeah, and it goes out there, and people hear it or they don't, and maybe it bounces around off a satellite. Maybe some aliens are listening to it.
What I really, really like is that if you don't tune into this show live on a Tuesday, you'll never hear it because it never gets archived.
Here we go again.
That's my favorite part of the show. It's almost like, do you ever hear, you guys know who Tim Carey is? World's greatest sinner? Yeah, his idea of this movie was to play it once, and then as the movie was unspooling off the reels, to have it going into a shredder. So if you didn't show up to that performance, the movie was being shredded as it was playing. And that's kind of like this show. Like, as it goes out there, if you don't capture it, if you're not recording it, it's like old school. If you're not recording it, it doesn't exist. Mm. I love that about the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually subscribed to Movies Hate You on iTunes, but unfortunately, April 20th was the last upload for any show.
Oh, seriously? Oh, my God.
But all that's changing right now, right?
Everything is uploading right now.
It is.
2 months of shows are uploading right now. You hear that, Todd? Now, that's a report. I didn't solicit that from him, and I didn't know that. Realize that was happening, Todd.
It's all better now. It's all better.
It's not all better. I didn't put him up to that. And let me tell you something: if it's not fixed by the end of this show, there won't be a show next Tuesday. I can guarantee you that.
Uh-oh.
That's right. I'm quitting the business.
Uh-oh.
Getting out of the business.
I've been there.
I got a few people waiting for me. When I quit the business, we're all going to sit at the bar. I came on your show, guys. You had me on. You were kind enough to have me on, talk about Wild Eye, and we had a blast for a very long time.
Yes, we did.
You guys helped me come up with the idea of selling my VHS tapes and giving away a free VCR with every purchase. Now, I haven't implemented it yet, but I think that's brilliant. I'm still working on it.
Hmm.
I think if you buy one of each, if you bought all the VHS that we put out, let's say, and it costs you $100, let's say, and you get a free VCR. I'll go down to the Salvation Army, get a $5 VCR, and throw it in. With a note on it. This may or may not work, but you'll get a free VCR.
It is free.
Yeah, you just write the note out to the customer with a Sharpie. Just write it on the VCR.
Yeah.
With a silver Sharpie, I'll just write on it. May or may not work. Thank you for your business. And you know what? And I could even jam a tape in there, one of the Wild Eye tapes in there to get them started. So all they have to do is actually plug it in and hit play. They don't even have to unwrap a tape.
So how much is shipping going to be on this item, though? That's my question.
It's going to be media mail for sure.
Absolutely.
Probably $3.
Yeah,
it might take a few weeks to get to you, but you'll have a probably rattling VCR by the time it gets there with media mail, and they throw it off of 60 trucks and a boat.
I think maybe to get ahead of the VHS trend, what you should actually do is find a way to print the art for each film on a VCR. Then you ship the tape in the VCR that acts as its own extra large big box.
Yeah, there you go.
Brilliant. That is brilliant, guys. Are you going to do that?
No, that's yours. That's all you.
It's kind of like when they put a wrap on a van. You know, when you see a van and it's got some kind of like funky flowers on it or something to sell a flower shop, they've done this wrap around it. You wrap the VCR in the actual packaging of the movie. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this? How about this? You do that, but then you put it in a van and you put the artwork on the van and they just get the van.
Huh. Is there a VCR in the van? Because it was one of those like tricked out vans with a VCR and TV in it.
Yeah, it works. Wild Eye Van.
The Wild Eye Van. Well, it's not a rape van. No, it's not a rape van.
It would be a date rape.
It's a creep van. Not a rape van.
Date rape, not rape.
Well, it's kind of like a van.
Not rape rape.
What?
Not rape rape.
What do you mean rape rape?
Well, there's rape rape and there's...
there's like... A man with your mustache should never say the word rape. Just let me say
I only started saying it.
It's a rape stash.
It's a rape stash.
It is a rape stash.
I have a t-shirt that says Mustache Rides 5 cents, which I think that's probably not a good price anymore. I mean, well, it's a great price now. Yeah, it's an old shirt.
Clearly you're dating yourself.
Yeah, I can't give them away for a nickel anymore. But anyway, you know, speaking of VHS, last night I watched VHS 2.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys have seen that
or not.
Did you guys see it?
2 weeks.
They saw it 2 weeks
ago. You saw 2 weeks ago. Well, you win then.
We reviewed it.
Oh, you reviewed it. Okay, sorry.
So I guess you don't listen to the extra cast, huh?
Hey, I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
I will listen to it. So I dug it. I didn't like the wraparound. It was pretty weak, but I liked a couple of the pieces. Am I crazy for liking it? Or
no, you we actually... Have? Loved it.
Yeah, it got full absolution from Exorcasts.
That the third tape, Safe Haven, was absolutely outstanding in my opinion.
Which is that? Without giving me spoilers, the zombie one or
the cult?
The cult. Yes, that is awesome, and it just keeps going and keeps getting bigger and bigger. And yeah, I love that one.
Do you have to let me check it out?
I will
check
it out film easily. Yeah.
Yeah, the wraparound thing I found very weak, but
it was wraparound more than VHS. The first VHS is wraparound.
Uh huh.
I didn't really like anything about the first VHS.
Yeah, no, it was a huge disappointment, and we really weren't even looking forward to it that much when it came out. So I don't think it was hype. We were just very disappointed in the movie as a whole.
I think it made my bottom five films of last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was just not feeling it.
Yeah. Now the whole VHS conceit, or rather the what do you call it? Found footage, POV, whatever conceit of the movie, to me seemed to hinder the filmmakers more than it gave them inspiration. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of person who, if you show me a movie that's supposedly found footage shot on video, the whole time, even if it's just in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, are they being true to the conceit? Would the person still have the camera going at this point? Or did the angle suddenly shift?
Right.
How could that possibly happen? That
have
takes me out of the
have
movie.
The batteries died. Yeah.
Right.
It's
right.
Like Cloverfield. Right?
Exactly.
They have to stop and get batteries for the thing.
Cloverfield, I will excuse for that because they do go into it at one point. They do go into a shop.
Right, that's what I mean.
Where they could have,
they had to address it.
Right, they had to address it. But
the question is, would you even care about getting batteries if those giant aliens were attacking?
That's always the thing. Is like the real conceit is that the filmmakers want you to believe that people are either so obsessed with capturing footage, or so egotistical, or just so whatever it is, they're going to sell the footage, or with that we're so obsessed as a people that there would be this burning desire inside you that superseded everything, including your own survival, to capture everything on tape. Most people would just throw the camera down and run away.
The thing that worked about VHS 2 was that they got rid of that, because for one story, the guy's wearing a helmet cam. The other one is
GoPro camera.
Yeah, then it's in the guy's eye, and then it's hooked to the dog, so they can kind of, at least, you don't have to jump to believe that somebody's going to keep filming for quite a few of them. And I thought that was good, because that in the first one we felt like, yeah, why are they still filming? It doesn't make any sense. But
right. And I always think back to like 9/11, and if you look at footage from 9/11, where is most of it coming from? Is it people running down the street filming as they're running? No. No. A lot of it's coming from, you know, somebody who was down the street seeing all this coming at them, but there was no one really, you know, during the, you know, who ran out of the building with their cameras. You don't see that footage.
Right.
Where's that footage? So I always try to relate it to that. That's kind of my watermark for it, is like, okay, what happened there? It was still observational.
Mm-hmm.
It was still observational. Security cameras, news crews, people who were off to a distance filming from, you know, Brooklyn, watching stuff. You know, there wasn't a lot of POV coming out of that huge disaster that thousands of people were involved in. No one thought, hey, my life is not as important as capturing this moment for history.
But has that changed in the last 10 years?
It might have.
People are so obsessed with you know, I see things, crazy things happen on the street occasionally, and it just like an altercation or something. But the first thing you see, the first thing you notice, is everybody reaches for their cell phone and they start shooting it. James Gandolfini died a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
and now all these photographs are surfacing of the people in the restaurant where he was eating.
Right.
Come on,
wow. People. Right.
Yeah. I mean, is it that interesting that a celebrity is eating at a restaurant? You have to take a picture of it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's probably true that most people wouldn't keep the camera going, but there are enough people who would keep the camera going to make it.
But they didn't. That was the thing then. But, right. The phones were different. The, you know, I wonder if that same event in... Well, I mean, I'm trying to think what's comparable to it. We just had Hurricane Sandy here. We did get a lot of footage mm-hmm. of people filming their houses and
storm chasers, tornadoes.
Because that's happening. Okay, all right. So yeah, it's plausible, and then maybe the younger the person is, the more apt they are to do it.
Mm.
Maybe
sometimes maybe. I think that it actually, because a lot of times I'll watch a film where I know someone has a cell phone and they don't use it. You know, like they're caught in the woods and there's a mongoloid pighead killer after them and they don't use their cell phone. And so I always complain about that. But then when we have a film where someone is shooting from a cell phone or a camera phone, I guess I complain about that too. And I'm like, oh, there's no way they'd be filming that. So maybe people do. Maybe people would film it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can write it off as a nervous reaction. You know, it's kind of like, all right, let me film this. I don't believe it. Or let me film this because no one's going to believe me. There might be, or just a kind of, you know, it puts a barrier between you and the event. If you're filming it, that camera is your emotional barrier. So maybe in a fear situation, someone will film it to kind of calm themselves down in a way.
Well, look at what happened. Was it about a month ago when the guy in England beheaded the soldier on the street?
Yeah.
And so there's a guy standing on the street with a machete in one hand, covered in blood.
Yeah.
All right. 20 feet away, there's a guy without a head, covered in blood. And somebody walks up to the guy holding the machete and with their cell phone and starts shooting him. Now, I can't even wrap my head around that. I mean, if there's anything, any red flags, you know, it's like the machete, the blood, the body. I run. I'm not thinking, oh, I should document this.
Right.
I get the hell out of it.
I would say if you want to make a found footage film believable, then you should, and there's one film that actually did it, it should be Werner Herzog filming it, because I believe that if he were in the face of death, that someone like that would actually film it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He would.
Well, I mean, he did finish an interview after being shot in the stomach.
Yeah. Yeah,
he did. So. Yeah, he had that drive-by or whatever happened to him, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It was Kinski.
So there are people that would continue on. I guess we're just not them. If Cloverfield was happening, I would be I don't know what. I'd be storing food,
running the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are so many problems with that movie, although I enjoyed it and it was fun. I mean, it's like, oh, the monster's on the east side. Okay, well, let's go the west side. You know, it was like, so like, that was like, that monster at one point, it felt like it was, you know, transporting, you know, kind of teleporting from place to place. If you know the layout of New York City and then you watch that movie, it's kind of like, oh, wow, they're on the Upper East Side now, but they were just at the Brooklyn Bridge 5 minutes ago. Yeah, you know, it's right. Like, what? Well,
they figure that most of the world doesn't know the geography.
They don't.
And they don't care.
They don't. When the rest of the world thinks, oh, this is a city, they think, oh, okay, it's like any other city. It's kind of smallish and contained. It's not, it doesn't have the kind of length of New York City. And just how long it would take you, it would probably take you 2 hours to go from the Brooklyn Bridge to the Upper East Side
right.
by taxi. You know, with traffic and the craziness that is the city, especially if there's a monster on the loose knocking over buildings, it would take you even longer.
Right. Oh, and they're going through the subway, isn't it? They start in one place and
right,
presumably 15 days later.
It's like those movies where they go into, you know, you see the sewer cap open up, you know, the sewer opens up and the guy's like, oh, here we are.
Yeah. It's like Beneath the Planet of the Apes where I forget, it was like Radio City is right next to... Grand Central.
It's Grand Central, yeah. and then it's like Radio City Music Hall. He like pulls up the sign for Radio Music Hall, and on the wall it's Grand Central Terminal. It's like, no, wait a minute. That's like
a few blocks.
Yeah, it's like 15 block difference there.
It's the magic of the movies.
It is. Guys, we got our very secret mystery guest is here. I think with us, if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard him chiming in a little bit there. So I'm going to introduce him. I'll keep you guys on. We're all gonna do this orgy style. And
that's why I have the stash.
That's why you have the stash. Now I figured it all out. But I want to talk to you guys about the VHS that you guys are doing. So let's not forget about that.
We are doing VHS stuff.
Yeah, we're going to need to talk about that and where people can get that stuff, man. So is this the first reappearance on Jackalope? For our special mystery guest?
I think so.
Who are you asking?
I think so.
Oh, good. Good. I want to welcome back to the Jackalope Airwaves, one night only. Limited time, live right now, and you can't call in and talk to him. We got him, 42nd Street Pete. Welcome back.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Always great to be back on Jackalope Radio. Somebody yelling in the background?
Yeah, that was me saying.
Somebody has a radio on.
I'm hearing myself in the background. I don't know who's got the backup there.
I don't know.
Probably Todd.
Some things never change.
Yeah. He's uploading this to the archives as it's airing live.
Well, I think maybe that's what it is. We're the announcement is that Pete is actually now in charge of the archives.
Oh yeah, right.
Just a new thing. I know they'll get, dude. I know the way you do eBay listings, man. You're like a maniac. So I know that you're going to do these archives just in lightning speed.
Yeah, right. If I knew how to do them, I'd do them. But gee, how long has it been since I've been on the air?
I don't know, man. Well, we're glad to have you back joining us for too this. Long. Yeah, so no, long, man.
I've actually gotten a lot of stuff accomplished actually since I've been not doing anything.
That's good. That's
I planted
good.
A garden. I planted two fruit trees. I planted a garden. I put a roof on the house. I put windows in. Life is good.
No comprende, man. No comprende. This isn't the Pete I remember. I thought you were going to say you've had 25 hookers and you went into a bunch of porn shops and you made some porns. I mean, what do you mean you planted a garden? Is it a garden of people?
It's a euphemism.
Is it like a motel garden?
You use fertilizer. Sometimes you get a neighbor that pisses you off, and rather than call 911 and upset your whole fucking night, a backhoe does it, you know?
Hey, whoa, so. watch the mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. This is the PG-rated version. I can't drop
it. It is, and it's live, man.
I'm not going to humbly apologize. I'm not apologizing.
Apologize to Todd. He's the one who's going to pay the fine.
I'll try to keep it in check.
Now, Pete, do you know the ExtraCast guys? Have you ever listened to their show?
No, I don't think so.
Well, shame.
I believe we have met at Cinema Wasteland a couple times.
Though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That, if I know you from anywhere, it would be there.
Yeah.
So you guys know Pete.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you bought some stuff off his table.
I have. Yeah.
See, satisfied customers.
Is now the time to talk about the return and the disc was scratched? Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to? I mean, he asked me to have him on.
This was loose in the case. Oh,
you can return anything. I'll give you credit for it. I'll just like, well, I can't even shrink wrap it anymore because I broke that thing last week. So, but
this was the.
I'll give you the there's like two big announcements going on. I don't know, you know, if you want to call them announcements or not, but I actually finished my book. It's all done. I just put it in the hands of Mike Watt to edit it. We're going to see what happens.
You read a book, Pete?
I can't believe this.
Wrote
guy
a book.
Oh, wrote it. Sorry. Oh,
wrote it. I read on the average of a book a
he
day.
He read his first book. He planted his first garden. I don't know, Pete. Man, they're gonna say things, man.
Ain't my first garden.
Tell me you shot a pimp in the face or something. Just give me something to balance all this.
Oh, I had a screaming match with some fat bitch in the post office about me leaving my dog in the car in the sweltering heat, yada, yada, which I did. The windows were open and she had water. So
Todd, cut fat out of that.
Yeah.
What? Can't say bitch either.
Oh, God. Well, are you referring to the dog or the woman in the place?
Well, my dog's a female, so yeah, go with that. Then you won't get in trouble.
Now, Chris and V, you don't have to deal with this because you can say anything you want. I felt so happy when I went out to the show because I was cursing. I was like, F that. F that. I don't give a shit.
N-word, right?
I didn't say that. No. That's your
No, you always got to bring that in. You know?
Yep. You know, he loves saying that word, doesn't he? Love saying it. I like to see you say it to somebody's face.
Anyone in particular?
I don't know. Somebody who would offend.
I don't know.
Paula Deen. Say it to Paula Deen. Yeah. See what she'll say.
She'll give you a high five.
So hold on. Pete, you've been selling a lot of VHS lately, I saw. You've been making money on this stuff. Getting stuff
out
of
the... Yeah, I gotta pay for my drug habits some way now that, you know, I don't have a hit show anymore, so...
What did you get on that Wizard Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
$50.
$50, that's a steal.
What do you mean it's a steal?
That's a steal. That's what does that go for? Yeah.
$150 one way?
It depends on if it was the big box or the slipcase.
Yeah.
Small box.
It was still probably a pretty good price for somebody, though.
Well, you know what it is? I bought that brand new. I think I paid $59.95. So to me, it only devalued $9.95 over the 30 years that I've had it. You know, I sort of look at it this way: this is found money. I'm not out to, you know, slam some people. I needed some operating capital, and these things were just sitting around, and I got halfway decent money for them.
Yeah, Charles Band is the one who's out to steal money from people, actually.
Oh yeah, I already heard that story.
Yeah, any updates on that story, guys?
No, but I'll tell you something. As a former vendor and wholesaler of that stuff and, you know, working for liquidators or whatever, even if he did find those boxes and they were in a warehouse, do you think they would be in the shape they were in? All that stuff deteriorates over a period of 30 years, especially when it's damp and stuff. So, yeah. If he said he salvaged the 150 good boxes out of, like, 10,000, I might believe that, but... That's about it.
Not to mention they were the most popular titles. That was my overstock.
Oh, yeah, that was very convenient, too. They floated to the top.
We talked about that one episode where it's like, yeah, of course it wasn't the crappy, like, you know, Fantomas movies or whatever, you know, whatever the, you know, Phenomenal and the Curse of Tutankhamun. Yeah, it wasn't the garbage that, of course, probably didn't sell that he would have 50,000 laying around. It was the stuff that actually sold and was in every video store in America that he wouldn't have any.
Yeah, he found, you know, 150 copies of Day of the Woman and Zombie.
Right, of course he did. Yeah, of course. You know, he didn't find, you know, whatever, you know, a Sword and Sandal movie, you know, like the crappy Sword and Sandal movie on Force Video or whatever. He didn't find that one that no one wants.
And the thing is, if he had found, even if he had found the like Superman cartoons, Wizard release, or any of that, it still would sell. And
That's just how VHS is at this point. He could have put those up, and they probably would still sell. So I'm sure at some point he'll find all the rest of the films that he's missing too. It's a big warehouse.
It's a big warehouse.
Yeah, really.
It's a big warehouse, and you know what?
It's a big machine that spits out boxes.
He said
he couldn't
warehouse.
Get anything less than 5,000 foot at one time.
Right.
Well, you know what it is too. When you're going with raw materials, which I knew about, you know, going back in the day, because you know, okay, the thing. How long has video been dead? 30 years now?
No, get out of here.
Give me. You know, I go in and out. Just give me a figure.
2001, right? I mean, when was the last tape?
The last tape was History of Violence.
I know, but what year was that? That had to be 2001, 2002.
Yeah. Right. No, I'll go with. Probably 2003, because we were still getting them in before we got out of New York.
All right, so let's say 2005.
They ran them out. But back then, the raw materials, they couldn't go under... To make a tape was $1.25. Tape, blank tape, insert and box, $1.25. So nobody could really go under that and, you know, kill the market, which they did with DVDs already, as we already know. So somebody was telling me now that to make a tape packaged and everything cost around $8.50 wholesale.
Well, it depends on how you make the tape, but you know what? Chris and V are the perfect guys to ask because I want them to tell us about Laser Paladin Video.
Ah, yes. Laser Paladin Video is our quote-unquote company, and we must always make sure the quote-unquote comes before we say company in this whole thing. We are VHS collectors, but we don't really collect a lot of the old stuff. I know a lot of the guys, look for all the old big boxes. I mean, we do a little bit of that, but we kind of found some small companies that were, you know, re-releasing films on VHS or putting films out on VHS that were never released at all. And since we were kind of tied to the movie Porkchop 3D, we decided to get with the director and release it on VHS. And we basically just, it's all, you know, done at home, DIY stuff. We try to make little special editions with buttons and get the cast to sign the poster. And for the most part, all the money goes to the filmmaker other than cost. And right now we're on our second release. But we have a few others lined up, and the next two or three will be all of the proceeds, other than cost, going to the directors. So
that's something you'll never hear the distributor say.
That's about $600 going back to the director.
Yeah, we do 30 copies, three copies at $30 each, and that includes shipping. And then, for the most part, if we really are resourceful, we can do, you know, $200 to dub all the tapes, to print up the labels and things like that. But it's dubbed one at a time because we like to torture ourselves.
In the old school way.
Yeah. With VHS, there are so many cool small companies like Laser Paladin Video that are turning it into something that's just, you know, for collectors, and it doesn't have to be a mass release. You know, most of them are limited to 30 copies or 50 copies, and that's kind of the stuff that we really like. As far as collecting old stuff, we don't do much other than movies that are like, you know, something we grew up with or something like Punchy Zombie or whatever. So
that's the beauty of the VHS thing.
I guess we're part of the new wave.
Sorry, the beauty of the VHS thing is that it is a limited thing. You've got signed, you got tchotchkes, you got little things coming with it. You can't compete with that on any other level. Somebody says, my movie's getting downloaded for free or whatever, but you can't replicate that. I love the one-of-a-kindness of it. It's really cool. And filmmakers, I would say 9 out of 10 filmmakers love the idea of having that kind of special thing.
And Todd is the 10th filmmaker, right?
Todd is the 10th. Todd is number 10. So would you tell us what movies you have put out and what's coming out, and where can they go, people go buy the stuff, or at least get on the list to get the new stuff if everything's sold out?
Okay. We our first release was Porkchop 3D, and I think that it was the first. I think the first 3D VHS as far as the new wave of VHS releases goes. That one is sold out. The one that we just did, and when I say just did, I'm going to say like a month and a half ago, was Vampire Horse from Outer Space, and it came with, it comes with, they haven't shipped yet, it comes with some lobby cards, some fake-ass vampire teeth, and what else, it's signed by the director. Coming up, we have the Puppet Monster Massacre, and we're going to do 10... we're going to do 30 copies, limited to 10 each. And when you order it, you don't know which copy you get, and each one has a different cover, a different theme. And it's kind of, we want to do that to encourage people to trade within the VHS, the small VHS community, instead of buy up all three copies and then sell one. I really wanted to see someone, you know, like kind of scrounge and scavenge for a VHS that they've been looking for. And then after that, right now, we have a release called Morbid, and it was directed by a brand new filmmaker called Chuck Connery, and it'll be the that's basically the only format that it's coming out on as of right now.
Rob actually just watched Morbid.
Oh, cool.
I did.
Did you like the big surprise ending?
I loved it. Which one was that now? No. That was Porkchop, you said? No. Todd, you're a big fan of Porkchop, right?
Loved it.
Good.
Awesome.
So where can people go to keep up on what you guys are doing, or is it a Facebook only thing, or how do you guys communicate with the fans?
It's Facebook only, just Laser Paladin Video, and we'll give a couple, maybe a week's notice before we put a tape up, and then it's just kind of first comes first serve. You send in your little private message on Facebook, and I mean, for the most part, our aim is not to alienate anyone who bought it on an earlier release, so those people are probably going to get precedent, but for the most part, it's first come first serve. So
it's like a boys
and we. Yeah, we are trying not to go that route, because there are some VHS companies that really make it, it's hard to even get their releases, and we collect some of those, and it's really frustrating. And we'd like to do more copies, but it takes so long to dub them one at a time and label them by hand and all that stuff that it's just not possible.
30 is a good round number, yeah.
I think it's great what you guys are doing, and you're mixing it up, and you've got some cool films, like Dustin Mills does some great movies. I'm glad you're involved with him. And I think, who was it? That reminded me when you said some companies are hard to get. When we were at the VHS convention, there was like, remember that line that the Uneasy Archives were coming out? Yeah, they were coming out.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh my God, there was a line. Like, at one point, you just looked up, and it was like, hey, there's no one here, man. Everybody, like, there's no one at their tables. It was like the rapture had happened, you know? Like, everybody just, like, shirts on the ground. And you look, and against the wall was this huge line of, like, 35, 40 people waiting for this tape. It looked like, and it was, like, rabid. It was like, people were cutting the line. Mm-hmm. I think Matt from Horror Boobs is trying to cut the line. He got punched in the face.
It looked like a celebrity signing.
Like a celebrity signing. Right? Like right before the celebrity, like, Argento is in the building, and everybody just scatters and, like, goes up against the wall. Crazy.
That was rough for us, because we couldn't make it to VHS Fest. So a lot of the companies that we like to collect release, like, 5 or 6 exclusive releases. And now we're so far behind that I think we're not really gonna go out of our way to try and wait for them. So it's rough when you can't make it and they have those exclusive releases. But I mean, I understand that's part of the fun of,
right,
you know, collecting.
That's the thing.
Those Unmusic tapes are limited to 23, and they resell for like $100 to $200.
Yep, exactly. Same with Massacre, and I mean, you know, we did an exclusive tape to Cinema Wasteland for Disco Exorcist that I don't think anyone has. You know, we did it with Horror Boobs, and yeah, it's a Japanese style. It's up on our website just so people can see what it looks like, but it's gone.
I still need to get one of those off of Matt.
Yep. I've got it. It's nice.
Yeah, talk to Matt. Maybe we can work out a deal, like maybe a trade for something that's out of print over there with you guys, you know, like a Pork Chop 3D or something. Maybe I have one laying around here.
Yeah, we got a Pork Chop 3D for you here. It's just you'll grow to understand that Laser Paladin Video, we like to take our time and really make sure things are done right, which means that our time frames in terms of releases, you need to add a month or two, but they will. They always get shipped.
See, Rob, yours is like mine, which is the test press.
Yeah,
and really, the test presses weren't finished like the actual presses were.
Yeah, all of our friends really just got screwed on that one. If you're a friend of Laser Paladin, your stuff is coming last.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, the paying customer comes first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even if you're a friend and you paid, you still come last.
Do you get a lot of guys? I get a lot of guys who email me are like, "Hey, I see you got some cool VHS. Can you send me some screeners of your VHS so I can review them on my blog?" I get a lot
We're
of that.
Sorry about that. We didn't mean we really meant we would pay for them, but we never get anyone asking for screeners from us, but.
I think they do with me because I don't put it out there that, hey, there's 10 of these and you get them now and it's over with before it even starts. I think because I have them up there sitting on my website, it's colorful, you can buy them from us. I think people think that I've just got a warehouse full of them or something. So I think there's a kind of an assumption, oh, hey, you're a distributor, give me a screener copy and I'll review it. And I feel like saying, sure, no problem, give me your address and then send them the DVD.
And didn't you just find 5,000 copies in Charles Band's warehouse?
I actually went to Charles Band's house.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I went to Charles Band's house, and in his basement, I found 5,000 copies of my movies in his basement.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's so weird.
They were hidden under the Puppet Master box sets.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing with Wild Eye movies in his I don't know, you know, maybe he was, I don't know, an investment maybe. I have to check the sales records if somebody actually purchased those.
It's all part of the same family, right? We're all in the same business.
We're all in the carnival business here, you know? Speaking of carnival business, Pete, you still with us?
More or less.
Pete? Anyone?
I think we lost him. Hey, before we
get... Pete got tired of it. He said, you know what? You guys bring me on, and he started talking about tapes like little girls. The hell with it.
Before we run out of time, which we're going to run out of soon, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today my favorite author died, Richard Matheson.
Yesterday.
Right, that's what I said.
And
today, he's still dead.
Today you mourn him.
Today I'm mourning.
He is still dead.
I didn't have internet yesterday.
Right.
So I didn't know about it until today. So for me, it's today. But yeah, I just want to, you know, I Am Legend is my favorite book of all time. It's most economical story. I mean, I read it once every couple of years. Without that, there would be no Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And of course, we know what that means. Shrinking Man.
Yeah.
The Twilight Zone episodes that I wrote. Nightmare at 20,000 Feet with Shatner.
Yeah.
Brilliant. The Poltergeist movie wouldn't be. That was ripped off from one of his earlier Twilight Zone episodes, Little Girl Lost. So, great man. I had the pleasure of meeting him many years ago, and he just seemed like he had no interest in the business side of things.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, 87 years old.
87 years old. Moment of silence for Richard Matheson. And there's our moment.
There you go.
Good. There we go. We
can talk about that. He gets absolution from Exorcist as well. So
forever.
Sleep easy.
That's it. I think that's a great way to wrap things up, man. With an absolution of not a movie but a human.
A human.
I love it. Pete, are you still there? Did we lose Pete?
I think Pete's gone.
I think we lost him.
Now did he hang up, Todd, or did we lose him?
I really don't know.
He probably got pissed off.
We'll find him.
He says, you know what? I'm a celebrity. What are you doing talking about tapes? I never heard of these guys, Exorcist. You bring me on. You're wasting my time. I'm trying to talk about my garden and my book.
Yeah, he's got gardening to do, man.
No, what it is with the garden and all of these new leaves he's turned over in life, I think he's striving for absolution also. So he may be at home praying right now.
I think what we'll do is we'll bring Pete back in next week, and we'll do a show. We'll talk about his book and know, this was just a little tease, a little taste.
I think he was starting a fire because I could hear his like his lighter flicking.
I heard like a bubbling. Times. I don't know what that is.
Oh, maybe his maybe his soup is done. So he
it's like a tobacco pipe. Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
his soup is done.
He's in a hookah bar.
Maybe he made a soup out of the vegetables from the garden.
Perhaps.
Maybe he's growing mushrooms.
Maybe probably mushrooms involved somewhere.
I hope he's listening. And by the way, he put a picture of his butt up on Facebook.
Good.
And Keith Crocker, the director, wrote, "I the only thing missing from this is my face stuck in it." You know, he thought it was a girl's butt. And it was actually Pete's butt. So now there's proof of Keith saying he wants to put his face in Pete's butt. Anyway, forget it. We'll talk about that next time. What do we got, Todd? 2 minutes?
You're ready to roll. Producer?
Oh, God. You see, you guys don't have to deal with this. You know, with a guy telling you, I keep getting the IMs. You got 2 minutes. Hurry up, you jerk off. Come on, hurry up. Wrap it up, guys. Wrap it up. I'm sitting here trying to talk and have a conversation with friends, and I feel pressure. I feel like I got to be like a disc jockey, like, okay, guys, sorry. See you next time. Hit the silent button on you or something. It's not fair. It's not fair, man. It's too real.
Well, get you back on Exercast so you can voice your opinion.
Yeah, bring me back on because I'm starting to get really pissed off about this whole radio business, and I want to say a few things. I'm going to name names.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to call some people out. So I want to come back, and I want you guys to come back on this show. Every time you have a new tape, I want you to come on and pitch it.
Well, so we'll see you in about a year and a half. Awesome.
Come on now. Come on now. Set the bar a little higher for yourself.
We are trying to gear up to make LPV a little bit more efficient here, and it's really the beard who's going to make that happen. He's the drill sergeant of this whole company now. So,
well, now it's out there. A whole new audience has heard about you. Now you have to live up to it. You don't want to soil your reputation. You've got Todd Sheets. You know, there's a big thing here. This is big. A lot of people are going to hear this. They're going to go to the archives in the morning, and they're going to listen to this. They're going to want their tapes.
So it really will be a year and a half.
It really will be. It will be a year and a half before they hear this, but yeah. Hopefully the tape will come out sooner.
Todd, you could come and work for LPV. We have no time constraints at all, but we don't pay anything. So,
oh, it's just like Jackalope. I love it.
And it would probably cost you money to come work for LPV.
Yeah,
this is like a weird parallel here, Todd. It's like sister companies.
I know. Crazy. Time to go.
Time to go. You see that? Look at that producer, man. He's got the brush out. He's brushing me off stage.
This has been the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
This has been the movies.
All right. Let me wrap it up. This has been the Movies Hate You show. I'm trying to do it like a kind of like a priest would on the altar to pay homage to Exercast. With us this week has been Exercast, Chris Envy. Thank you for joining us.
Bloody war. I see my knights falling one by one. So here I am in this fight, I'm all alone. I'm stuck here in this hellhole on my own.